B-Pod Studios.
I'm willing to bet on Joel Embiid having a better career than AI. And that's to say he's going to be a Hall of Famer. That's to say he's at least going to get you to a championship. And that's to say he is going to win you an MVP. And it's weird saying that because of how different the game is, considering it, you know, you could rule with a center like Shaq and Shaquille O'Neal.
Right.
You can't do that nowadays. Do you have Joel Embiid, who might be the one exception in the entire league?
I think I'm with you.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I'd take Joel Embiid and what could be over
what you have in hand.
Yeah.
Iverson, Barkley. Now, Irving won you a championship, so that's tougher. But yeah, I'll take him. I think you're going to win a championship with him.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm in agreement.
That's the confidence that we have right now in JoJo. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Now, of course, it doesn't just come down to Joel Embiid. And I had the opportunity to talk to Kobe Bryant. NBC Sports Philadelphia sent me over to Hamilton Middle School in West Philly, I believe. And I'm not that, of all the Phillies, I'm less familiar with West Philly than anything. But I go to the middle school, and I got to say, Kobe was great with the kids. He had just written a book, and he was great interacting with the children, and afterwards had a little bit of a media session where we got to ask him some questions. And I asked him about Ben Simmons, because recently he, I don't want to say he was critical, but he did give a bit of a critique. Like, I don't want to, critical has a negative connotation. Very honest, very matter of fact, and it's something that I even agree with. He came out recently and said that Ben Simmons needs to develop that mid-range game to really develop that full potential in his career. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. The more diverse you are as a scorer, as a basketball player, obviously the more successful you'll be. Some people will take Ben Simmons as he is right now and have that for the next 10 years and think everything is phenomenal. I want to see that part of his game developed. But Kobe didn't stop there this time around. Kobe told me that yesterday, when you look at a guy like Ben Simmons, he needs to develop the mid-range game, and then he took it a step further and said, then develop the three-point shot and just gradually increase his ability as he gets further and further away from the basket. He started with a compliment talking about how great he played against the Celtics, but then he came back around and said, once he takes that step forward developing the mid-range game, he'll even develop the three-point game. And he said, if you do that, if he does that, then just wow. What he'll be able to do throughout his career will be unstoppable. Now, you combine that with Joel Embiid, and yeah, maybe you're looking at some guys that will bring a championship to Philadelphia, and then you definitely have a more successful career than what you had with Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson, as much as we love him, as much as we admired him, didn't provide the parade down Broad Street.
But I also think that they had a different supporting cast.
Exactly.
With the players, so, you know.
Well, that's the only that supporting cast that Allen Iverson had was the only supporting cast that was going to get him to a championship. In terms of having a guy that was your predominant scorer, your predominant shooter, not just scorer, but having the four other guys that were like, yeah, we'll play defense.
Yeah.
But that was the now, barring going out and getting Kobe, right? Or barring and going and getting Tracy McGrady, those weren't the guys that were going to come here to play because Allen Iverson was going to be the star of the offense. Not that that was ever going to happen anyway.
Right.
But that was always
the
thing.
Well, there was almost a Tracy McGrady deal that never got pulled on.
Never got done.
Billy King talked about that, right?
Yeah. Oh, God.
But what if, like, with two ball-dominant guards like that?
I think they would have made it work.
I don't think so. I mean, I know it's great, you know, like, to add those two names together. You're talking about the deal that would have brought Tracy McGrady here with Allen Iverson.
After Iverson was already here. To play together.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, not working.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
As much as I love to see those two things playing together. Like,
you're probably right.
Look, I understand that it's not the same. I understand that it's not the same, but I'm looking at...
But the fact we can't even have that conversation without thinking it could be a failure goes to Bob's friend's point that it was kind of, you know... A wasted era. That you couldn't even pair another superstar with him.
Yeah, I mean, you drafted players not for your future, really. You drafted players to try to coincide with Iverson.
With Iverson. You had to fit everything around him.
Like, I love that
era.
And it
never worked. Right.
But,
yeah, oh, God. And we're not saying we didn't love watching the AI. Nobody's saying that at all.
But... Yeah, I mean,
but yeah,
Bob's
the guy Ed who sent it to me is pretty interesting.
Okay, Charles Barkley, was that a wasted era?
No, they just were an incompetent franchise.
That sounds like a pretty wasted era.
Well, it wasn't his fault.
Well, it's a wasted career.
kind. He was successful in Houston and Phoenix.
Phoenix, they went to a championship immediately.
Right.
It won 93 against Jordan and the Bulls and John Paxton.
And he ring chased in Houston.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
No, it didn't work, unfortunately. He tried to get in on their back-to-back championships after they were done.
After Michael was playing baseball.
Right. Now, Dr. J, he obviously produced a championship here. Some say he should have produced at least one more. You look at how they blew it against the Blazers. Were they up 2-0?
Yeah, they were up 2-0.
No,
1977.
Come on.
I'm sorry,
that
Mark.
That choke artist.
I cried my eyes out.
I'm sure you did, man. I would have as well. But here's the other thing. Charles Barkley, it was a little bit closer to the Sixers winning a championship, at least in the 80s. It was a little bit closer to the Phillies winning a World Series in 1980. So would we have looked upon Allen Iverson's era here in Philadelphia as fondly if it was more modern, where it was closer to a Phillies World Series and an Eagles Super Bowl? Like, the expectation and the gratification isn't just getting to the championship anymore. It's having to win it. Like, would it have almost been dwindled? Would it have been diminished? Because it would have been sandwiched between championships of other sports.
Wow. That's like, an interesting way of looking at it.
2001, of course, this city hadn't won anything since 1980, right?
83.
So, I know I was missing something. They didn't want anything since 1983, almost 20 years. So how would we have looked upon it if it was more close to teams actually winning championships in Philadelphia? Like, how different would it have been? That's another question we can examine. 610-632-0975.
Like, the Eagles won it, why can't you?
Yeah, right.
Like, no, I mean, honestly, that's what we're looking at. Like,
exactly.
You got to a championship and it's now... No, you don't just go, you win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, so I got to tell you, the 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com, and you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WP in Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. If you blew off work yesterday, we want to hear why. Let's talk to AJ in West Philly. What's up, AJ?
What's up, fellas?
Yo.
All right.
I wish I was in the studio with y'all, because I'm full of all this basketball knowledge y'all talking about, especially with this AI debate. You guys remember, but the reason why we're looking at AI bad, because they drafted horribly. And the reason why Joel and this era is going to look better, because of the process, because we surrounded them with all these assets and draft picks. Do y'all remember during the AI draft, the season before that, we drafted Jerry Stackhouse with the number 4 pick? Do you realize right after that was Rasheed Wallace, who we should have took, but his mom didn't want him to play in Philly. And also that draft was Kevin Garnett. We should have drafted Kevin Garnett fourth in revisionist history.
Uh-huh.
Then none of those players would have made us good enough not to get the number 1 pick in AI. Now, you remember the year after AI was the Tim Duncan draft. We had the number 2 pick and picked Keith Van Horn. Well, who went number 7? Tracy McGrady. So forget that Tracy McGrady trade deal. Instead of drafting Keith Van Horn with number 2, we could have drafted Tracy McGrady and had a roster with Kevin Garnett, AI, and T-Mac. Don't get me started about the draft with Larry Hughes, when we could have got
Paul Pierce. Yeah, of course.
And if you would have pushed us down lower, we had a chance to get Dirk Nowitzki.
Yep.
Okay, so AJ, who are you taking? JoJo, or are you taking AI? That sounds to be your era.
The only reason why, and everybody scoffs at the process, but the only reason why Joel Embiid looked so good is because he was surrounded by draft picks. And the last thing I want to say, if I could change history, it would be love if the Markel Fultz draft would have been Iverson.
Right.
And instead of drafting Markel, Iverson was on this team with Ben and Joe. We would have the most dominant team ever of all drafted Sixers.
Yeah, but no, I hear you, AJ. I hear you. But thanks for the call, man. But the question is, could Allen Iverson have played with those other players?
Yeah, that's what comes first to your mind.
Like, look, like who? The great experiment, not experiment, but you already had Stackhouse here, then you took Allen Iverson. That didn't work. Like, Stackhouse was a scorer. Allen Iverson was a scorer. Allen Iverson made it pretty much known he was going to be the only scorer on a team.
Right.
With this being said, and I know it was Allen Iverson past his prime, but I don't remember him and Carmelo Anthony rattling off championships.
No.
That's the big question.
It is. It's the greatest question of all time. Who could Allen Iverson have played with?
There's a reason why 4 non-offensively minded players had to be sandwiched around Allen Iverson, or put around Allen Iverson. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's the real monkey wrench in everything. That's the thing that disrupts the entire flow of it, unfortunately. 610-632-0975. Listen to this. This is hysterical. Smarten Up on Twitter tweets us saying, you both are wrong. Centers like Joel Embiid need a partner to be great. Shaq had Kobe. Wade, obviously. Kareem had Magic. Big O. Yes. Pump your brakes, old dudes.
Oh, wow.
That's a first. I've been called old.
Old dudes.
I am most likely younger than this guy tweeting. But, of course, it doesn't take one player to win a championship. But at least those guys did win a championship. I understand that the offensive onslaught wasn't coming from Dikembe Mutombo or even Theo Ratliff before that. You need to have a team around him. But we're saying, is this era, with Joel Embiid being the crown jewel of it, more likely to produce a championship than Allen Iverson's would be? That's what we're investing. You got to think of it as an investment with Joel Embiid and not what you already have. Bird in hand, two in the bush, whatever. We're asking you to go with what the bird in the bush is.
Yeah, we're not being damning on Iverson, and I think that's what that tweeter's kind of saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's a look at the eras. It's absolutely like, what would you invest more in? Would you invest in Iverson's era again or now in Joel Embiid's? Yeah, he can't help what he's surrounded with.
Absolutely. Let's get to Jeff in Northampton. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, good morning. Hey, I'm going to make a lot of people mad. I mean, obviously, you take the potential now over what you knew you had then, because I lost all respect and never thought the guy was more of an idiot than anybody ever in sports when you say, how's practice supposed to make my teammates better?
That is the
stupidest thing I've ever heard anybody say, and I never looked at him the same after that. He could have never played with anybody. You could have put him with four all. If he's not going to show up on time and he's not going to take practice seriously, he could have never won with anybody, or maybe he would have got a championship riding somebody's coattails.
That was a difficult thing for a lot of people to hear, and I remember hearing that after an MVP season, a championship finals run, right? I remember hearing that and just thinking, wow, he'll never get it. Get it. You can't, like, it wasn't just you can't get better with practice. It was, how is he supposed to make his teammates better with practice? And
exactly.
It's like, that's where you get better. Like, that's.
And it was always just, it's blown my mind the amount of love that the guy, I mean, he hustled harder on the court than anybody, but how much better could they have been if practice was taken seriously? And how much better could he have made the junk around him if he took it more seriously than he
did. No, absolutely. No, it's a good call. Thanks for the call, Jeff, and we'll put you in the running for our tickets, man. 610-632-0975.
I always thought there was something that happened with him that led to that whole practice comment.
Well, yeah, but it was still... Yeah, it was a bit of a meltdown. His friend died. His cousin.
Yeah, I was going to say, 2 days prior, maybe a day even prior.
Yeah, so he was definitely emotional, which led to the emotion of the press conference. I get it.
Mm.
But that's still in his head.
Yeah.
Like, how can he make his teammates better with practice? It's kind of obvious how you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You practice with them.
Yeah.
But no, I get the I excuse the emotional, how emotional the press conference was, but I can't excuse things he actually said. Like, the attitude of the press conference, I get it, fine, you're thinking about something else, but the statements being made, like, if you just read the script without the emotion behind it, I'm like, that's not a good look right there.
Yeah. I love you.
And don't get me wrong, I still love the guy. We do have our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Sam, what's the update there?
This morning we asked, did you blow off work for sports yesterday? We have just under 1,500 votes so far. Only 25% said yes, that they paid more attention to sports yesterday.
Work ethic, folks. Work ethic. Coming up, if you didn't hear Bryce Harper's dingers yesterday, that's right, multiple. We'll let you hear what they were coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning here on 97.5. The Fanatic, Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas on the updates for you. Talking a lot of Joel Embiid today. He had an interview with Steph Curry recently. It was this year. They were out in San Francisco when they were out playing Golden State. They won that game.
It was like, what, maybe a month ago?
Yeah. They actually won that game out in Golden State. They go around San Francisco a little bit. JoJo's talking about how he doesn't really enjoy the process nickname anymore, but how the process is always going to be ongoing, even if they win a championship. So we'll let you hear that a little bit later. But big day for the Phillies in spring training yesterday. They scored 13 runs, hitting 5 homers. And the crack of the bat is just a comforting sound. If there's any comforting sound out there, it's a crack of the bat. Yesterday, Bryce Harper went yard twice. First, in the first inning, take a listen to this.
First pitch to Harper. Swung on, that one's hit to the right field, and it's hit well, and that ball is gone. Bryce Harper's first home run at the Philly. It's like you called it, Ben Davis. And the Phils jump up to a 2-1 lead.
I said it, take away. I'm telling you, I just noticed his swings yesterday. His pitch recognition is there, and he hits a bullet out to right field.
Absolutely blasted it. Then in the sixth inning, steps to the plate yet again, and listen to this ball get clobbered.
How many times do we have to go over this? I don't know how you'd not flinch.
Well, it's an ass one up, and that is hit deep, and that ball is gone over the back fence. The second home run for Bryce Harper today. You said it, partner. He was close. He's got his second of the spring, and it's 13-3 Phillies.
Ain't nobody getting that one. Holy mackerel.
Pulverized it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, I had this feeling. I had this prediction before. I saw the 2 home runs yesterday. But when you see things start to come to fruition, like Bryce Harper hitting dingers, like Andrew McCutchen leading off, Nick Pivetta now going to be the second starter, the number 2 man in the rotation. How about that for Nick Pivetta? Aaron Nola, obviously your opening day guy. Now you have a 1-2-3 punch in the lineup, or excuse me, in the rotation set with Nola, Pivetta, and Arrieta. All right? Your last name has to end in an A, by the way, to be in the rotation this way. But those are your 3 guys. Hopefully they'll play well. Hopefully they'll pitch well. I got all the confidence in the world in Aaron Nola. Pavetta's been streaky. Arrieta left a lot to be desired in his first year with the Phillies. But you see all of it coming together. So you start thinking about the start of the regular season. And the Phillies are going to have a guy batting in the 3 hole in Bryce Harper who's going to hit 40 home runs. They're going to have a cleanup hitter hitting 35 to 40 home runs as well. You can have 80 home runs in your 3 and 4 spots this lineup. And possibly a Cy Young candidate anchoring the rotation. You have a former MVP leading up. Like, I have a feeling, like when you watch spring training, it's kind of a leisurely thing, right? You have it on. Maybe you're not 100% invested in it. Mm-hmm. But when opening day happens a week from yesterday, it's that fast already. We're going to be watching that lineup. You're going to be seeing MVP Andrew McCutchen, a former MVP, right? A guy that had a .421 on base percentage last year batting leadoff for the Yankees. Not too shabby.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Segura batting second. Bryce Harper batting third. Reese Hoskins fourth. JT Realmuto, an all-star, best catcher in baseball, batting fifth. Maybe Michael Franco batting sixth in this lineup. He could hit you 20 home runs. Saying it sounds good. But just watching those guys go through the order consistently.
I can't wait to be down there on Thursday.
It's going to be amazing. I can't wait for it to start.
It's going to be awesome.
Sunny and 56 on Thursdays right now.
I mean, when was the last time we had a bopping lineup? 2010? Well, I guess 11. 2011. Was still pretty good.
Yeah. You can still, they were still hitting.
So 7 years. But it felt like 35.
It really feels like it's been a long time, man. Even, you know, Ryan Howard, after the 40 home run seasons and all that stuff, he had, like, the difficult thing with Ryan Howard was that he had 5 incredible seasons where you couldn't believe the
man. Historic numbers.
Absolutely unreal. Then he had 2 okay seasons, like 2 30 home run seasons. Right. One year, I think he had 279. Another year, he hit 250, I think it was. And then he had 5 just really bad seasons. Look, 20 home runs, great. But the average was just way lower than it had to be. The strikeouts were way higher than they needed to be. That was the difficult thing with Ryan Howard, is that there wasn't a steady decline. It was just bad. Mm. The power numbers were good. 20 home runs, fine. But the 30 and 40 home run years, man, the 40 and 50 home run year, 58 home runs he hit his MVP season. Yeah, Jamie, you're right. You're looking at maybe 2009, really, in terms of boppers.
Yeah, like I was just going to say, 2011 wasn't like a bopping lineup. That was the 4 aces time.
Right, that was the pitching.
Yeah, so it's been a long ass time since we had a bopping lineup.
Like I always tell the kids, hitting's better than pitching. There you go.
Where the money at?
It's more
actually, there's a lot of money in seen pitchers.
Yeah. Chicks dig the long ball, yeah. I'm told.
Not so much the slider.
Not so much the slider. PJ in South Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, PJ?
Hey, what's up, fellas? What's going on this morning?
Just hanging out, brother. What's going on?
Hey, man, I don't normally be calling. Well, yeah, I do call a couple of times. But when y'all talk about Iverson and this new team, first of all, the talent level for this team is way better than what Iverson had.
Sure.
Then you got Iverson with a whole bunch of people that was just stealing money at the time.
No.
Your McCullers, your Chris Webbers, your Derek Coleman's when he was Derek Tall Man. Like, come on, man.
No, PJ. Here's the deal. You're not wrong in that there were like no other All-Stars being surrounded Allen Iverson. But
I didn't even thought All-Stars. They was like journeymen.
Right. But there was a lot to be said. Hold on. PJ, listen up, man. Seriously.
Yes,
you're looking at AI, and there's a lot to be said for why those were the guys that he had some success with. Because maybe they were the only guys he could have had that success with.
Maybe not, but they didn't. The front office and they didn't even try to get anybody else. They just said, "Okay, we got a superstar. We're going to get these fifths. Let's sell tickets."
I think they tried real hard to get somebody to surround them. That's why you had the Derek Coleman's and the Chris Webbers and the Larry Hughes's and those guys. They tried to surround him with people. They just couldn't find the fit. We're not damning Iverson at all. What you're saying is all true, the people that were around them. And that's our point. Would you take the Iverson era with all that came with him, with all the players with him,
I'm not going to take that era, though, by no means. But I just wanted to say, like, come on, man. You can't fault Iverson for having Ty McCullough and Matt Geiger. Like, are you serious?
Yeah, I hear you.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. You're also betting that this team is at least going to make it to a championship. And right now, as much as I love them, I don't see them getting past the Raptors. And as much as I do think they will beat the Celtics in a 7-game series, that's no lock. And you also don't get past Milwaukee.
Right. The mental block with the Celtics is something different. We can talk about that later, but... at least they have a fighting chance. With Iverson, they didn't have a fighting chance. And the only time that they did, you had to go against Ray Allen. He had to almost die to get past them. Then Vince Carter, so it's like, okay. He had to basically do it all by himself.
Right. All right, thanks for the call, PJ. I'm going to have to put you on hold, and you're in the running for our tickets here. But no, that's the X factor. Like, you could go ahead and play GM, and you could play fantasy basketball and see how that all fits together. But the common denominator is AI. I mean, Stackhouse had to go elsewhere because they couldn't get those two to play together. Not that there was any huge riff and somebody hated it. But, like, physically on the court, it was Allen Iverson as your offense. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why they went out. And not maybe. That is why they went out and got four defensive players. George Lynch playing as much as he did. Like, seriously? Like, great defender. The guy could shut down people left and right. But was he giving you anything offensively? Aaron McKee coming off the bench.
Talking about Cousin George like that?
Hey, Miss Scoozy, okay? But that's what you bring up every time you talk about the Allen Iverson era, is that was the offense. It was him, and that was it. There was nobody else giving you points.
Part of the knock on him also.
But again, it comes back to him.
Yeah.
Why was it that the only success that he really had was with four other guys that would just play defense?
Jerry Stackhouse was a pretty good offensive player in this league.
And he lasted
for a long time.
Yeah.
And they couldn't make it work.
And again, as much as you want to play fantasy GM and put Tracy McGrady next to him, I don't think that would have worked. As much as it sounds good. Like, I think the only way they would have been able to have success is if they did get that center. If they did have somebody.
Yeah, Shaq would have worked.
Hard to say it would have lost.
Yeah.
But having that one guy that was not going to invade Allen Iverson's territory.
Which was the whole court.
Yeah, exactly. Well.
Around the rim, I guess he could allow somebody else.
And look, if you have somebody down low that can get rebounds for you and Allen Iverson is missing some shots, that guy's going to get some rebounds. He's going to get some points. So that guy's going to have some success for himself as well. Let's get Jay up here in West Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey.
Good morning. Hey, that was my thing with AI the whole time. He wasn't a team player. Like, if he had worked on his game, he could have been so much better. That's why those guys loved him, Tyrone Hill and Lynch and all of them, because this was the only place they was going to get major minutes in the NBA. How you tell me you had guys like Chris Webber that played with the Fab Five in Sacramento, but he come over here, he just had one other offensive player with him, but he just standing around?
Well, he was also shot. Like, he had, like, he no cartilage left in his knees.
Exactly, but ain't nobody want to play with Iverson. You tell me that him and
Again, Larry it Daniels comes back to Iverson.
Exactly, because he was a dominant player. Tell me how many players 9 for 30 is a good night. You miss 20 shots is a good night.
Yeah, I know. 30 points, 30 shots, the classic thing exactly, about Iverson. Yeah.
Exactly, but only in this town. His biggest effect was being a cultural phenomenon, changing the NBA that way.
Okay, so you would take Joel Embiid for the investment to see what he brings you right now and push aside the Allen Iverson. Let me ask you this. What about Charles Barkley's time in Philadelphia? Would you push that aside for the investment in Joel Embiid?
Yeah, because if you look at our past three stars, I'm excluding Doc because...
No, hold on. I was just about to ask you. The last one for you, Jay. How about the guy that took you to a championship and won, Dr. J? Would you take Joel Embiid with the investment over the era of Dr. J?
Yeah, because I believe Joe could be a more dominant player than he always was. But look, listen to this. With Barkley and Iverson, we were built around players, a 6'2" guard and a 6'4" power forward. Joe is prototypical. He's 7'2", dominant player. Like Iverson, if he had worked on his game, granted, he was 6 foot running through screens. If he was a point guard, he'd have been more effective with the ball in his hands with his speed. But he couldn't play with nobody.
Right.
He had two offensive players with him that actually would have fit him perfect if you look at today's NBA. You had Larry Hughes, who would have been a 6'5" point guard, and you had Tim Thomas, a 6'10" guy that can shoot. But because he didn't want to pass the ball, he wanted to take 30 shots. It didn't work. He had to be the star. He had to be the center of attention.
No, exactly,
he
Jay.
Play with nobody.
Exactly, Jay. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Put you on hold for our tickets here. I'm getting asked. Oh, go ahead, Bob. I got a question on Twitter here, but go ahead.
The more I think about it, I think I'd take Irving's era.
Well, that the difficult thing is that
that's
had a championship.
The one. You went to like four finals, and I don't know, talking to friends, friends are texting me and stuff like that, and the more I think about it, I think I'd invest in Doc's era.
So I don't know if I can...
I mean, they had, what, four Hall of Famers and one starting five?
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, and look, this group eventually might get there, but you were vying for a championship every year.
Wait, Moses, Dr. J, Mo Cheeks...
Andrew Toney would have been a Hall of Famer had he not got hurt. And I believe it. My God, that guy was phenomenal.
Okay.
What's his comp?
I don't know.
Like in today's era? Because I never really got to see him play.
Yeah, it's such a different era.
That's the thing, though.
Breakdown one-on-one guy. He had this thing where he stuck out his left foot and his pivot foot, he would put way back. His right foot, he put way back. And he could beat you off the dribble, or he'd come up, and as you're playing that dribble, defender back up, he would just rise. And he was deadly. And he was strong. I don't know what comp today, Jim. I'll have to think about that. See, that's a great question.
That era... I only got to learn it. Like, Jamie and I, we only got to learn about the era. We didn't get to experience the era. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting question here from, who's tweeting me this here? Kevin is tweeting me saying, do you think there's any way that AI could have made it work with this current team?
I was thinking of that earlier, too.
The answer to that question, I believe, is a big fat no. Because then, if AI is on this team, that means Ben Simmons is your power forward. And I think he'd be a good power forward.
Yeah, I'm thinking like, okay.
But if he wants to be a facilitator.
Boy, could you see the running that team would do?
Oh, my God. That'd be a track meet.
Yeah.
I could also see, though, Joel, pass me the ball. Yeah.
What do you think he would do if JoJo started shooting threes?
The thing is, like with Iverson, he could have been a great passer. I mean, without even trying, like, seriously, when you're such a great scorer, there's going to be openings to get the ball to teammates. But Iverson averaged over 6 assists in his career.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good number.
That is a good number.
And I think he could have been a really good assist guy if he wanted to. That guy was so talented. He pretty much could have done anything he wanted to. It just so happened he had to shoot as often as he could here. Could he work with this group? That's a great, great question.
We got a tweet here. Brian Friel checks in, says, Joel Embiid is the best player the Sixers have ever had that I've seen with my eyes in 45 years.
Okay. So he's seen Dr. J.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a kid, but he's seen Dr. J.
I can't make that statement.
I mean, he's good.
That's the key thing. That's the one I have paused with. I mean, definitely Barkley, definitely AI, but it is because there is a better team, but JoJo also allows that, being that he's a center, and I think that's just the way his game goes. If AI is here, then yeah, maybe you do have Ben Simmons as your power forward, and that's pretty good power forward. JoJo down low, that team, now that I'm adding it up a little bit more, maybe it wouldn't be as much of a dumpster fire as I thought it would be. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to go around the world with Sam Wilson. She's got some stories she wants to give. One involves potential nudity, because I've seen a picture of this woman that Sam's going to talk about.
Not Robert Kraft.
Oh!
Go ahead. What? Give me the nickname for Robert Kraft.
The newest nickname that was tweeted in by Scott Holbert,
yes.
I guess. Robert Shaft.
Very interesting.
Not bad.
What was Shaft's nickname? The character Shaft? What was this for? John Shaft.
Yeah.
Right? So this would be his brother, Robert Shaft.
Robert Shaft.
Hmm. Nice work, detective.
Boston Dangler is still
in the league. Now, folks, we're not doing a nickname show. That is not happening. But if people are tweeting us, then we're going to read a few out loud. 610-632-0975. Let's get Titan. He's been holding up here in Chester. Titan, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Good, man.
Hey, good discussion today. But my head's about to explode.
Why is that?
You do realize the reason why AI was shooting so many shots is because of the team they built around him. Mm-hmm. He had no choice. There were literally no other real true scorers there. So he became what they built around him. I personally feel the organization failed them in their draft because they didn't put other great players around them like they're doing with the Sixers team right now. What are you guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I just said that right before you called. Maybe you didn't. I said, Iverson had to shoot here. I mean, there was no other thing he could do. He had to shoot here. And I thought that if he was called upon to be a great passer, had he had, like, those good teammates that you're talking about, Mike, that it could have been all right, that he would have been great at it. But he had to do what he did.
Yeah, and there was another statement they made. Could he have played with the Sixers now? And they're saying, well, he would have had to been the point guard. No, he didn't need to be the point guard. He still could have been. He's a scorer. He could have been the two in this position when it's basketball. All they could have asked him to do now was score and let Ben facilitate. He would have been a great off the dribble fourth quarter guy like what's his name?
Butler. Jimmy
now?
Butler.
The free agent we got.
Jimmy Butler.
Like Butler is doing now. Could you imagine having him in the fourth quarter with his endless energy, all rested up because Joel Embiid is killing everybody the first three quarters? That would probably be one of the greatest teams ever. The talent the Sixers have right now, if they don't win a championship, it's because your coach can't do it.
Well, if they can't win, if they can't get out of the second round of the playoffs, that coach might not be around.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he wouldn't need to be. Outside of Golden State, who has a better starting five than the Sixers right now?
Yeah, no, that's been the big thing, Mike. Yeah. Thanks for the call. But no, that's a knock a lot of people have had. That if Brett Brown can't get this team out of the second round of the playoffs, or if they lose to the Celtics again, then you got to move on from them. I got to see how the playoffs play out. I have not been the fire Brett Brown bandwagon driver, not even a little bit. But you got to acknowledge reality when it's out there. Mm-hmm. If you can't get out of the first round of the playoffs, the second round of the playoffs, if you get beat by the Celtics again in a series you can't win more than a game, then yes, you got to look at things. 610-632-0975. Alex tweeted me here. Philly's 3-4 hitters are going to hit 80 home runs this year at Mark Farzetta. Good thing Gabe Kapler is going to have 5 or 6 different 3-4 hitters throughout the year to make this true. Or no, excuse me, hot take true. It's really a hot take? And first off, I said could. Will.
Yeah,
it's not out of the line to say Rhys Hoskins could hit 40 home runs and so could Bryce Harper.
Absolutely.
And I don't think Gabe's going to do nearly as much tinkering as he did last year. 610-632-0975. When we come back, we'll go around the world with Sam Wilson. Time at the Fanatic 842.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Before we go any further, let's go around the world.
All right.
With Sam Wilson, ladies and gentlemen. Sam is in here right now. Sam, you've been reviewing the globe. You got some crazy stories for us. What do you have?
Yes, going all around the world. And this first story, we're going to Birmingham, England.
Birmingham.
Yes. Yes, 21-year-old Emily O'Connor. I don't know if you guys heard about it. It's kind of populated right now. It's going around. But she...
Oh, it populated.
She was getting on a plane on Thomas Cook Airlines. I've never heard of him. It might be like an English
Oh, this
one.
Is the nude lady.
Yeah.
This is the
he
nude lady.
He discovered Australia, didn't he? No, Cook.
I don't know.
Cook?
Did he discover Australia?
Well, as a Westerner.
Were there people already there?
Yes, they were.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, I think he was a famous captain.
Tommy Cook.
Tommy Cook.
No, old Tommy Cook, fella. Yeah.
Good knowledge by you, Jim.
He was like, this would be a great place to
if
bring
it's right.
Prisoners. Yes.
don't applaud me until it's correct.
So Emily was getting on the plane, and she was told that what she was wearing was inappropriate and was told to cover up or leave the plane. And... so you hear that and you're like, oh, like she's probably wearing something inappropriate, like bad, like, you know.
I actually did see a picture, yeah.
I tweeted out the picture and I retweeted it from the show thing. What she was wearing was a high-waisted, like, pantsuit, so not even shorts, like it covered her butt.
Right.
It was high-waisted over her belly button. And then she had, like, a tank top, like a crop tank top on. But keep in mind, she was headed to an island, the Canary Islands. So, like, it's not like she's... going to Vermont
right.
in a tank top.
See, when I read the story, I thought that she was like in a bikini top.
Yeah, that's
or
exactly
a sports
what I pictured
bra.
Too. No.
Yeah. She's appropriate.
Exactly.
I thought so. And lovely, I might add.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. Like,
oh, Sam hates her. Did you see that pause? Sam.
Right out the gate, Sam hates her.
I was going to say it'd be different if, like, she was hanging out of it or something. But all it is a deep V cut and her arms are showing, but everything's covered. So it's absolutely insane. And she describes the story saying that four staff members approached her and told her to cover up or leave the plane. And they were ready to forcibly remove her. And she stood up and asked people if she was offending them, and nobody answered. There was a guy behind her dressed in shorts and a vest.
Oh.
So that's kind of the same thing for a man showing his arms, and it was a V-cut.
A V-cut? So wait, hold on. A vest or a V-cut t-shirt?
Like a vest, but it was just nothing under it. So that's even probably
I'm looking at the,
revealing, right?
I just retweeted your picture, and this, like...
Is that the one with the plane behind her?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think she looks, well, first off, again, lovely. She looks lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
And like not at all inappropriate.
I don't think so either.
I have seen women on flights with less.
Exactly. And so she ended up just borrowing a jacket from her cousin, and she was allowed to stay on the plane. But I know, it's ridiculous. And she actually said that there was a man that was getting annoyed by the weight. So people started actually harassing her, like yelling, just put on, like, shut up and put on a jacket.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to get somewhere.
Yeah.
Look, if you're not allowed to wear that, just take it all off anyway.
Yeah. Now, I would eventually get to that point as a passenger,
as a fellow,
all right, just put on, like, here's my hoodie.
But from her point of view, that's not fair to her. She's getting harassed by people now.
Exactly. No, that's pretty
ridiculous. But, yeah, so they ended up, like, tweeting her an apology and all that stuff, but saying they do have a rule, like a clothing rule, but whatever. That's ridiculous.
To use your word, Sam, hanging out. I thought she was going to be, like, hanging out of, like, a skimpy top.
No, that's exactly what I pictured.
She's not extremely bosomy.
No.
Just to
use a crop top, and she's headed to an island, I imagine, for spring break. It was early March.
You raise a good point. What else you got?
Okay, so going to NCAA March Madness. Vermont, they lost yesterday to Trey's FSU.
Mm-hmm.
And they scored 69. But,
that's right.
Sam, keep it appropriate.
My, how we have corrupted her.
Yes,
but this
official.
Is a cool story. It's only happened 4 times in NCAA history. And there were 3 brothers on the same team, Vermont's team, playing at the same time. Isn't that cool?
Wow.
Cool. Yeah.
That is
and they're all
wild.
From Indiana, Evansville, Indiana. Yeah, so Ernie's a redshirt senior. His younger brother, Everett, is a redshirt junior. And the best one, supposedly the youngest one, who's a freshman named Robin.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, sad their tournament's over, but I thought that was cool, so I brought it up.
Sucks to be you guys.
Yeah.
No, that's wild.
This one's a big one. So They refer to it.
That's what she said. I was waiting for Trey. She did just say that.
Yeah.
So this one was reported by the Hollywood Reporter and Deadline Hollywood. It's not any major things right now.
Mm-hmm.
But supposedly Disney is closing down Fox 2000 is what they put in. But then the picture is 20th Century Fox. So, yeah, Disney and Fox merged for 20th Century Fox, who pulled out, like, a whole bunch of, like, Deadpool, Avatar, Bohemian Rhapsody, all those great movies. And they're closing it.
And so we're not going to have the drum roll and the spotlights and all that stuff before movies? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, isn't that insane?
That came out this morning.
Hollywood Reporter's pretty legit, I believe.
I saw that this morning. It was 2 hours ago.
Disney. Just buying everything. You know, Disney bought... So, Dana Carvey had a TV show. Remember, do you know Dana Carvey?
No.
Sam, he was Garth in the Wayne's World movies.
Oh, okay. The blonde.
Yeah, the blonde fella. Great comedian. Was on Saturday Night Live for a number of years. Hilarious guy. He had one of the funniest shows ever on television, and it lasted like 4 or 5 episodes. Because here was the cast for this show, all right? It was like a sketch comedy show, and they had different sponsor every time, like Mountain Dew, Dana Carvey show, Taco Bell, Dana Carvey show, Mug's Root Beer, Dana Carvey show, because they're just selling sponsorships.
Yeah.
So, selling sponsorships. Louis C.K., now disgraced comic, was the lead writer on this show. Stephen Colbert was a lead actor on the show.
Wow.
Steve Carell was a lead actor on the show.
Wow.
Yeah. When was this? Early 2000s?
This was, I want to say, mid to late 90s.
Oh, okay.
Because I remember Lewinsky jokes on the show. So they canceled this great show with this talented cast because Disney had just bought ABC right before the show debuted. So they were like, all right, just make sure all your jokes are within the Disney confines. And Dana Carvey and Louis C.K. and Steve Colbert and Steve Carell are like, yeah, I don't think this is going to work. And it was a hilarious show. And Disney was like, no, go away. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen to the great people of Fox.
I know. Hopefully they can turn it around. This
Fox,
one's kind of
20th
funny.
Century Fox.
So L.A. residents treated to light show, but no, it wasn't a meteor. So this one blew up Twitter in downtown L.A. So many people, there was like a, it looked like a meteor. It was an orange
fireball.
Light orb. Yeah, going through the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was blowing up Twitter saying, oh my gosh, did anybody see the meteor in downtown L.A.? Blew up everybody, but it ended up being people that were wing jumpers. So that's like the people that are in those outfits that look like flying squirrels.
Oh, yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.